Welcome to Public Words Project. This is part two to the Lombardo Boyar saga. Find out what happens next. And don't forget, guys, this is a very casual podcast with some very fun language, some great laughs, and great pointers if you want to go into acting. So sit back, listen, enjoy, and learn. Here's Bardo.
And he was like, you know, he was like, Lombardo, I think this is the wrong attitude, and he's trying to spin it on me. He's like, we're going to write a part for you, which is the other thing, right? That they act like, and he's an actor too, who came up, and like the funny thing is he comes from money, so he probably didn't have to struggle enough. Right. He's trying to tell me that, no, man, look, I've struggled too. You got to take it, don't take it this way. Something better is going to come and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, but he's just assuming that I'm fine, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Like, in retrospect, should there have been more, like, from your side as a working professional, and I want to talk about this because this is also translates to traditional jobs. Definitely. If someone calls you, should you have communicated in a different manner? Like, in retrospect, should you have, like...
With him?
Yeah.
To be honest, no. I mean, I am Bardo, and it took me 46 years to get here, and it's like... And I'm still working, and the thing with him is like, no, I wanted him to let him know that, hey... You know, I don't have it as easy as you. You think you struggled, but you've been a star for a long time, and you know your struggle is like, oh, I didn't get this big whatever. I don't know what they are, but you know, you've dangled that carrot in front of me for two weeks. You know, I haven't worked in a while. I have a kid and a mortgage. No, and I always take it on myself. So in hindsight, now I don't mind that I let them know everything. You know that
this isn't a criticism.
I love it. No. I'm totally okay with it. Yeah. No, I'm glad you asked it because no, I have to be okay with who I am. And like, that's the one thing that I'm right now. As you see, I'm growing as a human being, and like, that's the one thing that I love. Yeah. Like, I'm becoming more secure with myself.
Yeah, we should. Yeah.
Insecurities are peeling off, and I can do something like that. And like, no, that's me. Fuck it. You know, I'm good with it. So what? And if I see him again, and the funny thing is I got in his head because he didn't, you know, I really got in his head. Like, because, he's going to think of it. He's going to remember that, you know, like, bam. And what I was going to say is this is the point. He says, Lombardo, the creator told me he's going to write something for you, right? So now you're telling me you want me to, you're going to write me some little guest spot or something that you say is going to be possible recurring. So you want me to come back and work for the people that didn't pick me for a serious regular job, and you want me to work around the guy that got the job. You think that sounds like fun to me? I mean, how are they going to treat me? So it's funny to them that like he thinks he's throwing me something amazing. I'm like, dude,
no. Well, from sitting over here, it sounds more like, I don't know who this person is, and I don't need to know who this person is. It sounds more like just a general kind of like... covering thy own ass, like just like instead of saying, "Yeah, man, I picked someone else, tough titty," or you know, next time. But just like kind of like, you know, people aren't brave enough. Like, I made this choice, you didn't get it this time, but maybe next time. But like, okay, well, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, and it's all. This,
and you know me,
talk.
Like he caught me fresh too. Yeah, the Southgate came out. He's like, here's the thing. The Southgate came out because look, you know, we're gonna write something for. I go, if it gets on air.
Ooh, yeah, Southgate came out. Yeah.
Woo! Oh, and he lost it. He's like, what? Yeah. You don't think it's going to get on the air? Yeah. He literally said, do you know who I am?
He literally said that. Oh, I love when people do that.
Oh, and I was like, and I said, do you know who I am? I have more credits than you. That was the truth.
Damn. Getting down and dirty. I love it.
But hey, dude, I had to let you know. You're not going to, dude, I'm, like you said, I'm. It took me a long time to be a secure Bardo at 46. And, and thanks for your courtesy call. But I'm not going to be so courteous.
What was that about? It sounds more like that person was like trying to soothe their own guilt. But, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, I love it. And hopefully he learned something.
I'm not going to call it. Wait a couple days before I call it.
He's going to make his assistant. Gonna make his assistant call next time.
Well, honestly, I mean, from a professional point of view, that person should have waited for a more appropriate time. You know, it's like,
keep talking. I'm just, they can see you, so the dogs can see them outside, and they keep whining.
Oh, the
sorry.
Dogs.
Yeah, get outside, go. Yeah, they can see you, babe, so they keep whining. It's all right.
It's all good. All right, so that's a learning point. So what else is going on here? So you.
So anyway, so that get through that, and then, you know, but then it's my life, and then I have to shake it off, because the next audition comes in, you know, let's go.
So what's your process of shaking this type of thing off? I mean, because people need to know, like, you know,
I mean, mental health is such an important part of our life, and also you're in a job where it's like it's up and down, up and down. What kind of things do you do to take care of your mental health?
Skateboarding is great, okay. And I actually started working out, which is great. I just do a workout 4 times a week, and that's really helped me out. I mean, we started off a little harder. Now it's down to 4 times a week, and I work out with my friend. He lives really close, mm-hmm. and it's an hour a day, but mm-hmm. we play music and we just go at it. That's a great release.
Helps to keep you sane.
Skateboarding, but you know, the family, you know, yeah. my kids and my wife. I definitely could not do it without her. Right. I mean, she's the backbone. And she, you know, reminds me and keeps me in my place sometimes. Chill out. You know, don't go crazy. You know, and sometimes she knows when to let me go crazy. You know, to be honest. Yeah. You know, she knows when I need to just release. She'll let me go to the skate park, or, you know, she'll let me. You know, and to be honest, I self-medicate. You know, it's legal here, so I smoke marijuana. That's my buddy.
Cannabis is cool.
No, so, cannabis is cool, man.
All in moderation, young people.
That's
all in moderation.
All in moderation. So, yeah. Yeah, definitely. But that, you know, that the family is the best thing. If I didn't have a family, I don't know what I'd be going nuts.
Do you do any type of meditation, breathing?
Yeah, no, really, just the workouts and skateboarding. Skateboarding is my zen. That's when I get lost, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll be at the skate park, and then, like, I'll just have to tell, I'll come back. I just get lost.
It's so funny, because, like, your thing when we were kids was skateboarding. My thing was bicycles, and we're, like, in
we
our...
go back to it, yeah.
And I just, cycling, yeah, it just saves, it's very spiritual, and it keeps me... Yeah,
and I guess it just go back to it because it makes us feel young. It's something that we enjoyed then, and then I forgot about it and kind of let it go.
Well, I've been cycling since 14, all the way through. So it's just like, it's such a gift. Bike riding is so awesome. I remember bought my first bicycle when I was 12 years old at the Schwinn shop on Firestone Boulevard.
That's awesome.
Way back in the day. Anyway, back to you. So there's ups and downs. You have to take care of yourself. And okay, so you get a gig. Tell me some of the serious regulars you were on, because I remember seeing you on like some really great shows, and I'm like flipping the channel, I'm like, hey, there's my homeboy right there.
So voiceover, let's just pop in that, because that voiceover has been amazing to me, and it's been kind of like throughout my on-camera career, which is TV and movies, you know, voiceover has helped so much. Mm-hmm. I did a cartoon called Rocket Power, which is for 4 years, and I played Lars with the bully on it. Ooh, look at the little darkos. And I was just, but the cool thing about that show is we were 2 Latinos that we were skateboarders.
Nice.
So they were first Latino characters I remember in a cartoon. So now, those kids that used to watch that cartoon, it's hilarious, man. Like I went to this audition one day and the security guard, this quick, saw my ID, read my name and goes, you were on Rocket Power.
Wow, that's kind of awesome.
All these kids that used to watch me when they're young, they're all getting older. So Rocket Power was, I think, the first series I did. Dangerous Minds, I recurred on.
Yeah.
The Bernie Mac show. Bernie Mac, the comedian, I did for 4 years. I recurred as Chewy.
Okay.
I just read for another Chewy that I hope I get. And I'm probably going to read for a lot of Chewies. But I love it, man. You got to love the work.
Yeah.
Recently, Murder in the First with Taye Diggs, Kathleen Robertson. We did that for 3 years.
Did you have to go up to San Francisco a lot?
Went up one season, went up 2 weeks, and then we ended up just going 1 week.
Okay. It was a good show. I enjoyed watching it.
Thank you so much. I grew on that show, too. I mean, you know, I just watched me from season 1 to season 3. You could definitely see me growing, I think.
Okay.
I did, you know, and I had to. I had never played a detective, an inspector. You know,
which
and it's
is super cool. You look good, man. You look good up there.
Yeah, it was great. No, I was. I'm proud of my work in there. You know, season 2, they gave me a really big storyline. Mm-hmm. The producers were losing their minds during that, though. Yeah, one of them. It's just you're always gonna have. Well, Stephen Bochco was sick. Rest in peace.
So
Stephen Bochco was really, really good to me. While he was alive, he was always good to me throughout my career. He gave me my first Over There, which was about the war in Iraq. I was a series regular in that.
I remember that.
And that was, he reversed the roles. My wife went to war and I stayed back with the kids. So that was a great role. And he was just always loved me, and he was such a generous man. And if you worked for him, he kept bringing you back.
Loyal. That's the way it should be. Like, take care of the people.
Yeah, right? that's going away too.
Is
like,
it?
This thing, the respect is getting less and less. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, and I think that's in any business that I think everyone can agree out there.
Yeah, it's definitely changed.
The minds coming up right now, there's no more courtesy. There's no more empathy. It's just, how do we get more money and we don't care who we screw
over?
At all
costs, yeah.
Yeah, my mom worked for a trucking company. I won't say who they are, but... then these new, younger people took over. First thing they did, these truck drivers, first thing they did was cut out free coffee. for truck drivers.
That's crazy.
Oh my God. I mean, yeah. So you rather let them, you know, just die and fall asleep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or start.
What's going to cost you more? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like the little things. It's just so interesting. Things have changed. And it's so cutthroat now. And like, you know.
Like when I started acting, like going back to Dangerous Minds, I mean, I was a guest star. And I'm at a party with Annie Potts, you know, and her husband. Because back then, if you did a guest star, you were invited to the rap party.
Yeah.
You know, now you're lucky if they have a rap party.
Really?
Yeah. You know, and if you're a guest star, you're not invited.
Oh my God. So
it's for the regulars only, man. And
so
like
you went to the rap party, Annie Potts is best friends or friends with Tim Curry, which I was fanatical about growing up.
Yeah.
And then Maria Costa went to Tim Curry's house for a party, and I was just like,
crazy.
So I'm just like, I want to be Tim Curry, but that was 100 years ago.
Yeah, that was back then. Yeah, that was like 97, 98, 96, 97. Yeah.
So
I started acting in 95. So yeah, so so I did a movie called Big Ass Spider, another lesson out there for actors. My friend Greg Grunberg, who's amazing, and he always calls me if there's a job for me. Mm-hmm. And I've done a couple of his movies. And so he calls me one day, goes, hey man, I got this spider movie that I want you to do. It's called Mega Spider.
Uh-huh.
I go, Mega Spider, dude? I go, dude, I don't know, man. He goes, look, the director, look, he just wants you. He just wants to know if you have a mustache. And I go, what? I have a mustache? He goes, yeah, I have a mustache, actually. Yeah. Right now I do have one. So anyways, he wants me to do it, but I'm like, I'm not going to go at the time because my agents did not want me to do it. Okay. I mean, it's like the time Sharknado was, and it kind of, it had a B-film thing. Like, you were a B-actor if you did that, and like, we're trying to get my career to go up. So they're like, what are you doing? You're going to do this Mega Spider movie?
Yeah, well,
so my agents were giving me good advice.
Yeah.
But my gut was saying, I don't know, man, there's something here.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it, but it's one of the leads that I could get. And so I told Greg, look, dude, you want me to do this movie? Just get me the role.
Yeah.
Just get it for me.
Yeah.
And I said, come on, man. Who else is going to challenge you? Who else is going to compete with you on the screen? And then he goes, challenge on, bitch. He texts me. So and then he goes, all right, the director just wants to meet with you. You got the job. He just wants to meet with you. And he wants to know if you have a mustache again. So anyways, Mike Mendez. So we get together. Yeah, seriously. Just wants to know if you have a mustache. And Mike Mendez is Latino too, you know. But very Americanized. You know, grew up here, kind of like me, but just more Americanized.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we meet and everything, but the reason that I took this job, and even though my agents didn't want me to do it, is because if it was a lead role that I went to audition with and they were really gonna have guys come and audition,
mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't get it because they're gonna go with whoever's more famous, in other
words.
So that's why I told Greg, no, just get it for me.
Okay.
And he got it for me. So now I got a lead role in a movie that the director says, you guys can do whatever you want with it. Which, man, what a great opportunity.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So me and Greg just rewrote everything, and like we shot it in the summer in downtown. Like the first day we were showing up to set, he's like, "Yeah, you're gonna come by. You can pull in, make a ride into the parking lot, and you're gonna see these big old trucks and all these cranes." He goes, "Yeah, go past those. That's Batman. That's the Dark Knight. That's the Dark Knight set. Just you're gonna go past."
Tease. Yeah. Psych.
You're gonna go past that, and you're gonna see one truck, one little ass truck, and that was our set. And and we shared a little honey wagon, which is like a little room, guys, like me and Greg Grunberg, and we shared it, and we just would run lines and try to come up with different ideas. And the point is, my gut told me to do that movie, and yes, the movie didn't do huge, and it really didn't help my career much, and like some people have seen it, and it's, you know, a little bit of a cult classic
it's
now.
It's fun.
It's fun.
I've
fun
seen
movie.
Parts of
it's
it,
exactly
yes.
what it is. A big ass spider movie. And it was a comic relief. It's, it's great.
You did well.
Yeah.
The parts I saw, because you know, spiders freaked me out, so it was like I watched it in segments.
Yeah. So flash forward to about, I don't know, 4 years ago, my agents call and they say, hey, what do you call it? Disney called. Pixar called, and they want to fly you up there. We don't know why, but you're going. I was like, hell yeah, I'm going. So
where did you fly? Where's up
to
there?
Emeryville is in Oakland, California.
Yeah, got it. Okay.
So they fly me up there. I get a tour of Pixar, which
nice.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
Tour of Pixar. They feed me lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Pixar's amazing. It's like Pleasantville. Everyone is so nice. They have, dude, they have a, like a life-size soccer field. I mean, everything, Olympic-size swimming pool.
Sweet.
They treat their employees amazing. Nobody wants to leave. Everybody says hi. Everybody opens the door for you. Cafeteria is open 24/7 for breakfast. For the employees, I mean, it's sick.
Yeah.
They give me a tour, feed me, and then I meet the directors of Coco. And I read for a few roles and stuff, and then I fly back, I get the role. So when I go to the first session to record Coco, the director, Lee, says, hey, you know how I found you? I said, no. I said, I'd love to know how you found me. He goes, when me and my son have downtime, we watch trailers on Netflix. And I saw the trailer for Big Ass Spider.
There you go.
Boom.
There you go.
And I heard your voice. Uh-huh. And I was like, I like his voice.
Yeah, you have a great voice, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, a movie that my agent said, don't do that, don't, you know, came full circle. I mean, if I don't do that movie, I'm not in Coco.
Yeah.
You know, which right now, Coco is, you know, saving my life. It did okay. The movie did all right.
Yeah, it did. Did you go to the Oscars?
No, I didn't go. I went to a pre-Oscar party.
Well, I was just wondering, because so tell me, I know what you played, but tell us the two roles. You played more than one role.
I did two roles. Yeah, I'm actually a trivia question. Like, what actor in Coco played two roles? Lombardo, wherever. It's kind of cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, so I played El Mariachi, the Plaza Mariachi.
Right.
The guy in the beginning. Ay, 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 muchacho. Yeah. I asked for a shoeshine, not your life story. And then, and then, of course, the one that if I didn't get, I was going to quit acting was Gustavo. Because, as you know, that's more smart-ass Bardo. You know, it's like, hey, yeah, hey, chorizo, that guy has the hot ticket. But if you're on the, you're not on the list, you can't get in, chorizo. Oh, no, no, ask him how he died. He choked on some chorizo. And then I laughed. Like, you, as you know, that's Bardo. So. Yeah.
Because so I just knew about roles. The one, so when I was watching the movie, which I love the movie because it's just so...
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's nice to see things that you experience in a part of your life on the screen. We spend so much time watching... I spent so much time in my life watching other cultures and communities and nothing I can really relate to. And just to see it so bright and beautiful. And then to hear your voice the second time, I'm like, that's Bardo! So that was really cool. So.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That's usually what happens. My friends are always telling me, like, yeah, I was in the other room and I heard your voice. You know, they usually hear my voice first and then they're like, hey, I know that voice.
So Coco, congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah. So Coco's been really, really good to me. So that's, you know, and also live within your means, actors. If you know, if you know, when you have a family and stuff, you have to, you know, cut back on certain things and don't live, like I said, beyond your means.
Well, let's talk about that more, because Bardo and I'm at his house and we were telling him about Public Words Project. So there's some things that like he's telegraphing. So. Because we talked about it before, so let's get into that. So, like, it's so important to manage money and have financial literacy. So we're talking about a business that is run on emotions and creativity. So really talk about, like, tell these people, you get the money, what do you do? I mean, it's just like, because you get big chunks of money and then no money. Big chunks of money, it's like having your own business. You get big contracts, lots of money, and
Save it. I mean, just don't go nuts if you get that big payout. You know, save it.
Yeah.
You know, Keira Knightley, you know, I hate to bring her in, but I read an article about her that says even though she has all this money, she lives as though she makes 40 grand a year.
Okay.
To keep herself in check.
Good.
You know?
That's smart.
And I think that's amazing. You know what I mean? It's, you have to remind yourself, hey, don't go crazy. Don't, because it will go, you know, and you're done. You know, as you know, and it's especially looking around right now, you see all the homeless people and it just scares the shit out of you. You know, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely an epidemic. So definitely in kids, like I said, I drive a 95 Nissan Cube that's paid off. And I mean, it's got 64,000 miles on it. Yes, I'm an actor, whatever, but I love that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, gas is expensive, right? So come on, get a car that's going to run, you know, get better mileage, because you're going to be driving all around town for auditions. So
that's
save
true.
Money on gas, get a car that you can pay off.
Let me ask you something. Is all that, I mean, when you get to tax season, is all that tax deductible? Can you write that off?
I can write off mileage. Yeah, mileage. And of course they're cutting. You know, of course they're cutting all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, because this past tax season, I really got hit as a small.
I have to go do my taxes this week for 2017 and 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's all right.
Well, you're in great spirits right now. Yeah. For having to do that.
Oh yeah, amazing. No, and it's great. I'll do it. But the thing is, I know I'm gonna see they took away some stuff. My sister already told me, and I mean. Yeah. And her husband is a mechanic, and he can't write off equipment that he buys for his job anymore.
It's ridiculous.
Took that away.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So yeah, we used to be able to write off cable bills, whatever, because for research, no, they took that away. They want to know exactly, well, what movie did you watch for what role?
Yeah.
You know, if you bought clothes for something, they want to know specifically, well, yeah, for what role, and we want to see it on the screen. You know, they want proof for everything. So now you can't just say, oh, it was for clothes. No. Show me the clothes and then show me what show you did. Was it a play? Let me see pictures of you wearing it in the play. I mean, it's just getting ridiculous.
That's a political conversation we'll have later on.
Yeah, but just don't go out to eat. I mean, live somewhere where it's not desirable. I mean, don't move where, like, everyone here. I just throwing it out there. Silver Lake is amazing,
yeah.
But it's expensive. It is a really cool place to live. But if you just moved out here to get into acting, you have no reason living in Silver Lake.
Yeah.
You need to live in North Hollywood where it's cheaper. You know, seriously, you need to move somewhere where it's cheaper or you're not going
to
make it.
You got the red line and then you can access to
you need to live somewhere where it's cheap. Find local transportation. Don't get a car if you don't need one with Uber and everything now.
Yeah.
If you're getting one or two auditions a week, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Just Uber them. You know, you don't need a car.
Yeah. Be smart.
Be smart. Yeah, because, if you move to Silver Lake and you give yourself 5 years, you're probably going to be done in two because you're trying to live like the rich kids.
Yeah.
You know, and if you come from a small town and you're trying to make it, be smart.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that. I've lived in the Valley since I came out here to be an actor.
Yeah,
I lived in Hollywood for that one moment when I broke up with Lonnie. Mm-hmm. When I moved in with Mike in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I think I was there for like a year and then I was, look at this, back to the Valley. Because Hollywood is crazy. It's expensive and crazy. There was four
it's
of us.
Even worse now. Yeah.
Four of us in a one bedroom.
Yeah.
You know.
You do what you got to do when you're trying to come up, you know, so.
So I just said, screw this. And then me and Art got an apartment in the Valley. Boom. And I never looked back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. It's cheaper. You know, there's parking. Yes, it's hot, but I'm from El Paso, Texas. So
there ain't no thing hot. For you. Cause don't bother me. That's like a wet oven out in Texas.
I'm a desert rat.
Cause one time I was thinking about moving out there cause all y'all were out there.
Oh yeah.
And I walked out. I was out there one summer with you guys. I'm like, Jesus. So I stayed on the other side of the hill.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I went back to visit and although it's my hometown and I love it and I'm always looking at homes there just cause you could get a mansion for like $250,000, like five bedroom pool, everything. Yeah. But I'd have to live in El Paso and I'm already a city boy. I mean, it's just, I was there for 3 days and I was bored. I mean, I love you, El Paso.
I love you
because they gave me El Paso Day. Did you see that proclamation?
Oh my God, that's so cool.
I got that from, because of Coco and everything, my career. I have October 10th is Lombardo Boyard Day in El Paso. Yeah.
I'm going to take a picture of that before I leave. But yeah, awesome. I do remember that seeing that on Facebook, like we were talking about earlier. It's like, and also I wanted to talk to you because one thing we were chatting about earlier is like, I've known you forever and you've been close and I apologize for not coming over and hanging out because I'm just a lazy bitch. But
that's the truth. I mean, we get, and not only that, you get caught up in your own lives. Like I said, I have kids now and a career.
Yeah.
And
but we were talking about how like the faux communication gives you a sense like, you know, I stalked you on Facebook and Instagram, but
so
it's
you
just
feel
like
that's enough.
But just seeing you this morning, it's just a joy.
It's different.
And it's different and it's organic
totally
and there's like
you're
energy
here.
Going back and forth. There's just something that's not substituted. You know, I always say technology is an electric handshake that leads to a real hug. That's why I use technology. It's a great way to meet people, but it has to lead to like,
I like that.
Human
lead
contact.
To a real,
because otherwise we're gonna be
That's
a
why
really
it's so important. That's why I love
movie.
What you're doing. I love this program that you got. Yeah. I love it. I mean, because kids need to get out and talk to each other and make eye contact.
Like Saturday, I'm working with LA Rooted, and they work and with Conexión. Saturday at this place called the Big House out over there by USC on 35th Street. And they asked me to come in and coach some foster kids.
That's awesome.
Because they're taking some culinary classes. And the organizers are smart enough to be like, okay, we're going to give you the skill set, this talent, but you have to be able to talk to people. So I'm going in under a contract to coach them to learn how to just, like what we were talking about earlier, eye contact, shaking hands, how are you doing? Find something.
Smile.
And to know that you're not going to die if you talk to another human being. You really aren't going to die.
I know, but that's funny. Yeah. That's literally how some look when you talk to them. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, and then also it's like, I've had many conversations with colleagues about, you know, being an introvert, be extroverted, and then I'm an ambivert. You know, I'm both introverted and extroverted.
Yeah.
What do you think you are?
Yeah, definitely you. Yeah. I'm definitely an extrovert. You know me.
All the time?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, all the time.
Fair enough.
That's what I am.
Yeah.
So I'm an actor. Cliche.
No, but it's like, it's good to understand these things as you talk to kids and like, you know, I go in there and I have training, but I'm not a psychologist. So I have to like watch these kids and make sure that something that what I'm doing isn't hurting them and watching their affect and their body language to make sure that I'm giving them the best kind of coaching I can. And,
awesome.
So it's good.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I go to schools, you know, I have my kids and like even some of the parents and their kids, like we were talking about, people are just kind of getting a little colder. You know what I mean? They don't want to say hi.
And why do you think that is?
I don't know. I would say technology, some of them, I mean, and a lot of them are just, hey, that's it. That's my thing. Or they're looking down and they don't pay attention or they just want to avoid. And I think a lot of people, especially in this town, because of, you know, what it is, I think most people think you want something from them. You know what I mean? And like, okay. More friends, more problems. Like, more birthday parties, more, I don't need the stress. I mean, it's sad to say, but it's like, you know, it's just like, I'm good. I don't need to. But there's nothing wrong with saying hi. Yeah. Hey, what's up, man?
You know what? I've come to this realization this past 2 weeks. People are messy, and that's okay. Yeah. It's okay. True. It's okay because we're human. We have emotions. We have all sorts of inner workings. And to be involved or talk to other people, it's going to be messy sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's all right. Just deal with it and move on. Because no one's going to be... And first of all, we don't want to be robotic in our... Because that... What fun is that?
Yeah.
I mean, we have... Artificial intelligence can take over. You can like... Pretty soon you're going to be able to... buy a husband or a wife, and then it'll be a robot. It'll do whatever you want and say and do. But what fun is that?
Yeah.
We've seen sci-fi movies. It doesn't work out.
No.
So listen, we're going to be wrapping this up pretty soon.
I love it.
But there's always these traditional questions I ask. Okay, let's go. So the first one is, what is your favorite food?
See, first thing that came to mind is pizza, still.
There you go. There's a lot.
And again, it goes back. Like, my best friend, Rick, he worked for Little Caesars in El Paso in high school. We thought it was the best job ever because we loved pizza. And he would bring home, like, a pizza.
Yeah, I mean, pizza's awesome. Trust me.
That's it. Hard to beat.
Okay, good. So we got that. You got a little history behind that. What is your favorite word? Because, you know, Public Words Project, words are important. What's your favorite word?
It's a good one.
Like, my favorite word, just to give you an example, is Ubuntu.
Wow.
Which is African for I am because we are. So that's my favorite word. What's your favorite word? And I say this every podcast.
Yeah, I'd say pura vida, which is pure life.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
That's two, pura vida.
That was also an El Chicano, by the way.
Yeah, was it? Cool, awesome. I was it.
Hello. Part two. They set it up for El Chicano part two, part dos. So listen, guys.
Lombardo, get that flat in that food, man. Go ahead.
And then... So what is failure to you?
Giving up.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And what is success to you?
Never giving up.
I love it, Bardo. Yeah. I love it. Now here's a good question. I want you to really think about this. What advice would you give to your kid self? That's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and it came to me exactly because it's the same thing that I've been told my whole life. And it's the same reason I get into trouble now. It's like, know when to shut up.
That's good kid advice. That's excellent adult advice. Exactly. I'm going to really heed that one.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. I mean, that's still the same thing that gets me in trouble.
Well, you know, we've grown up together and I've watched you growing into, I'm a couple years older than you are. And I've really watched you grow into a very handsome, capable, respectable man.
Thank you so much.
So talented, and you're a gentleman. And it's so nice to be sitting in your home that you and your wife created and from where we came from to now. So congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. Congrats to you and everything you do. And then, let me know in the future. Maybe I can come by to one of these things that you do.
I would love that.
Yeah.
So we're going to end this with this last question. What words of encouragement do you want to leave with our audience today?
I love this. I mean, it's like, give your kids, and it's from the movie and the Descendants, and I love it, but I just love this. Give your kids and yourself enough to do something, not enough to do nothing.
Excellent. Bardo, I love you, brother. Thank you for doing this. And everyone, thank you for listening to Public Words Project with my homie, Bardo. And keep your eye out for everything he's done. And...
Southgate, El Paso, Tarzana. I'm from so many places. Huntington Park, Long Beach. We moved a lot. All right.
Excellent.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Love ya.
Love you. Thank you.